Live from NPR News, I'm Shay Stevens. Protest continues in Louisville and other cities over the announcement that no charges will be filed in the killing of Breonna Taylor during a botched raid on her apartment last March. NPR's Adrian Florido reports.
The crowd marching through downtown Louisville swelled to several hundred people shouting Breonna Taylor's name. Police raced to block off intersections and used loudspeakers to warn people they'd be arrested for breaking the mayor's 9 p.m. curfew. Kimren Young said she didn't care.
We've never cared about curfew. That reminds me of like Nazi Germany. Like, how are you telling people to stay in a house when we're allowed to protest? That's against our rights.
Among those arrested was a Kentucky state legislator. Many marchers were furious. Only one officer involved in the raid on Taylor's apartment was charged, not for her death, but because the bullets from his gun entered a neighboring apartment. Breonna Taylor's family plans to address the public today. Adrian Florido, NPR News, Louisville.
A federal judge in California is ordering the Trump administration to extend the 2020 census schedule through the end of October. Judge Lucy Koh rejected arguments for wrapping up the once-in-a-decade national headcount next week. The Justice Department is expected to appeal. Census figures are used to determine the allocation of federal spending and the number of congressional seats for each state. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is directing committee chairs to come up with a fresh offer to try to break a deadlock in negotiations with the White House over a new coronavirus relief package. More from NPR's Susan Davis.
The latest Democratic offer is expected to cost around $2.4 trillion, a scaled-down version of the $3.4 trillion bill the House passed back in May. But it would include new aid to struggling industries, including airlines and restaurants. The bill is expected to be unveiled next week. It's unclear if it will get a vote in the House or just serve as the basis for what Democrats hope will result in a final deal before the election. The price tag is still much higher than what the White House and Senate Republicans say the nation can afford to spend to address pandemic-related needs. Susan Davis, NPR News, Washington.
More than 3.5 years into his presidency and 40 days from an election, President Trump is launching what aides are calling his vision for health care. Trump's plan covers a range of issues, including protections for people with pre-existing conditions and other provisions already contained in Obamacare. The president has refused to promise a peaceful transition of power if he loses re-election. The issue arose again for a second day during a briefing by White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany.
The president will accept the results of a free and fair election.
McEnany says Democrats are the ones who should be asked if they would accept the November election results. Retired General Paul Selva is joining a list of nearly 490 former Pentagon officials calling themselves national security leaders for Biden. This is NPR. South Korea says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has apologized over the killing of a South Korean official who may have crossed disputed sea borders while trying to defect. The South Presidential Office says Kim's rare apology was included in a message that called the incident unexpected and unfortunate. Earlier in the week, officials in Seoul accused the North of shooting the man and burning his body in what may have been an effort to guard against coronavirus. A legend in the world of journalism and publishing has died. Sir Harold Evans edited the Times of London and then came to the United States to run the book publisher Random House. Evans was 92 years old. NPR's Rose Friedman has this remembrance.
Harold Evans was named editor of the Sunday Times in 1967 and immediately turned it into an investigative powerhouse, with exposés on the Soviet mole, Kim Philby, the Bloody Sunday killings in Northern Ireland, and the pregnancy drug, thalidomide, which was found to cause birth defects. The reporting could have sent him to prison, but he told NPR in 2009,
"It was such a manifest injustice, I'll live with it. I'd rather live with having tried to do something than having turned away because I was scared for my own carcass."
Harold Evans was forced out after Rupert Murdoch bought the paper. Evans moved to the U.S., ran a number of prominent newspapers and magazines, and turned publisher Random House into an engine of profit and glamour. Rose Friedman, NPR News, New York.
In pre-market trading, U.S. futures are higher. Asian markets are mixed higher in Tokyo. I'm Shay Stevens. This is NPR News.